Hey, Heather here. Designed to empower individuals to be their best self, the Ron Kitchens Always Forward Leadership Podcast brings fresh understanding to the issues today's leaders are facing and equips them with new perspectives and resources to lead forward. Welcome to today's conversation with Ron Kitchens and Brad Lominick.
Hey, thank you for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens, as always, joined by my co-pilot, sidekick, lead astronaut. What is it?
I'm in the right chair, not the correct chair. I'm in the actual directional right chair.
Directional
right
chair.
Which is the co-pilot up in the in the cockpit.
You're the guy who gets blamed when the plane goes down.
Exactly. I didn't turn the knobs correctly or hit that button that was supposed to pull the flaps down when the flaps were supposed to come down.
So you're
the co-pilot.
I'm joined by the flap puller.
Jeez. I'm the button pusher and the flap puller.
Yeah, that sounds like a farm boy.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably that's an Oklahoma thing.
And that would not be, if I had to choose, what is my dream job? I don't think I would want to be a co-pilot in an airplane. I want those guys up there. I fly a lot, as you do, Ron. Yeah. I fly way too much. I'm Diamond on Delta. But I want those guys up there loving that they get to fly on a regular basis. I don't want them walking in going, oh gosh, another flight. Let's get this thing over as quick as possible. I hate my job. I cannot stand having to be the flap puller. I want them thinking, if I could only do one thing today, I just want to pull the flaps. I just want to bring the engines down. I want to make sure that landing is nice and smooth. I want to stroll right into that jet bridge with the best possible inertia that doesn't cause anybody to have to grab anything. I want somebody up there in the front of the plane who loves their job. Yep. It's their dream job.
No, I think that's right. You had interesting jobs. So you've been a cowboy.
I have been a cowboy.
You're a published author. You've led a large leadership organization. You've been in a magazine,
yep,
publishing business.
Consulting.
Consulting. You had a lemonade stand one day when you were 11.
I was a lifeguard.
Yeah.
I also have spent some time doing manual labor, which you also have, in terms of hauling hay in the summer.
I loved hauling hay.
Oh,
I loved hauling hay.
That wouldn't necessarily be my dream job.
Of all the jobs you've had, what did you think when you were done with college or when you were at a point that you thought about it, what your dream job was? What did you want to do? And reflecting back on that, what do you think of that now?
Yeah. Well, the dream job for me was, or the dream industry was politics. So I thought I was going to go into politics. I wanted to be a senator from the state of Oklahoma, U.S. senator. That was sort of the ultimate, to me, the pinnacle of chasing a dream or chasing an industry or profession, was to go into that world and then sort of climb your way up to the top of the food chain. That was probably the one that stood out the most to me. And then my path went a totally different direction. Working on a ranch in Colorado, then joining up with a couple of guys in a consulting firm. One of our clients was John Maxwell, got involved with leadership in that world, and then the rest is sort of history for me in terms of being in the leadership space. But I don't know if I agree with this idea of a dream job. I'm not sure that the ultimate expression of you and your calling and your sense of pursuing what is for you the call in your life, or at least the sense that you have a path, I don't know if it's always about the dream job, because most of us have gotten into places. Most of us today, if we're honest, we're looking around going, if I'm honest, I'm not in my dream job. So does that mean that you don't now walk into work every day with some sense of purpose? And I think the answer would be, if I only think of it as my dream job, then I'm going to have a hard time ever achieving that. And that's why I have a hard time with the term dream job.
So you know, and we didn't talk about this in advance, but I agree. I think the idea of a dream job is mostly bunk. I think for me and what I coach, and actually, you know, I've just joined the board, the trustees at Western Michigan University, which means I'm on the board. But I had a student who really impressed me the other day. She made a presentation at the board, and I asked her to come by my office and tell me her story. And she's one of 12 kids. Her parents are both migrant workers from the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. And I have a lot of heart and family history on the migrant side. And, you know, Texas is one of my kind of three places I call home. So we came by and she was talking about this idea. She's going to graduate in a year, about her dream job and how confused she was. And it dawned on me then, don't think about your dream job. Think about your dream outcome.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to achieve? What levels of influence? So if you want to be rich, that's a different job than if you want to teach four-year-olds to read. Now, only you can say which is more valuable.
Yeah.
But think about the outcome you want to have. And then that way, it's a constantly changing outcome. Because when you achieve those outcomes, we as humans, I have nobody I've ever met, regardless of how successful they were, predicted the outcomes they were going to have as great as they had.
Yep.
Great leaders achieve these things, and it's always surprises them. They knew the direction they were going in. They just get surprised by the magnitude, and then they have to readjust, and they have to constantly focusing on outcomes. Then it's easy to go, oh, okay, I know exactly, or mostly exactly, what my job has to be, what the work I have to dedicate to, the hours I have to put into it to achieve that outcome.
And make your current job as much of a dream job as it can be. That's another piece is the reality that I can walk in to any current season and try to create my own economy in such a way that it allows me to pursue as much as possible of what I would say are the dreams I have within the context of that current season. And that may be really small opportunities in terms of what you're doing right now, or it may be that you have endless opportunities to actually create that and create your own economy that will then allow you to create your own dream job in the middle of the current season you're in. But the problem with having this dream job mentality is that what happens if I never get there? What happens if I never achieve that? Does that mean that my life has been a failure? Does that mean that I haven't created anything?
What happens if you achieve it and it sucks?
And it's awful. Exactly. Right.
And we've all known people that did that and their life became completely derailed.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't make it back out.
Yeah.
So if you focus on, I'm going to make today the best today ever, and I'm going to do it as part of the route to achieving what's important in my own life. You know, that seems very esoteric and, you know, like where we need a coach to coach us through that. But it really is simpler than that. What's the impact you want to have?
Yeah.
What's the influence that you want to change, and how soon do you want to do it? What's the path look like to do that?
What would you say practically to be able to walk in to any job you have and start to love it? You know, because part of, I think, the dream job idea is that I love what I do. I wake up every day and I'm excited about it. I feel like it's energizing. It's allowing me to live out as much as possible of the calling I have in my life or the gifting I've been given. How have you done that?
So for me, I have to love the people I'm doing life with. That's the most important thing for me. I've got to be all in with them, because at the end of the day, all jobs are hard. They're supposed to be. You just get better problems. The more successful you are, they just get bigger. You just get bigger opportunities to solve things. So the amazing thing, and I like being on a team. I've never played a sport where I was an individual athlete. They don't interest me. That's why, you know, I know you love to ski. I have no passion around skiing. To me, it's so boring because I'm doing it by myself. I would rather be in the boat pulling a water skier than be the guy at the end of the ropes doing that. I want to be in the clubhouse. I want to be doing life with people. Now, that isn't to say that everybody's going to have this kind of shared kumbaya moments. But even the people that I have had to work with that I knew I was never going to exchange Christmas cards with after we no longer worked at the same place, I found amazing things about them that I could appreciate. And that, I think, if I couldn't find that, then I would move on. It didn't matter what the job paid. It didn't matter what we were doing. If I couldn't be in a place where I wanted to be around the people I was going to work with, and I thought I could have great impact. You know, you were talking about wanting to be a U.S. senator, and we share that. And as I think regular listeners know, I had the privilege of working for a United States senator early in my career, and I was elected official at age 21. Now, I want to remind everybody, 3 terms I was elected by a landslide, by the greatest margin of victory that has ever taken place in my hometown.
Okay.
As a city councilman. Fact of the matter is, nobody ever ran against
me. Right, I was going to say,
you know,
did you have any opposition?
And I had to go recruit somebody to take the seat so I could step down. So I, you know, didn't have to run for a 4th term. But I had that bug. And so I had a group of business people who had lots of resources come to me and say, hey, we think you'd be a great congressman. We really believe that you'd be a congressman and we'll raise the money and we'll help you get elected. And it was very sexy. I was, you know, in my early 30s, a young family. I'd been to Washington working for a senator. So I went to see my senator, Jack Danforth, who's one of my mentors and one of the best men I've ever met in my life. He's just an unbelievably great man. And so I went to the senator and I told him, and he said, you know, you only know the world from my perspective. And the Senate's different than the House. And I'm rich and you're not. So I have a different lifestyle than you would have. So I want to introduce you to some friends over on the House side. And I want you to go spend a couple of days over there. And then after that, you come back to me and we'll talk. So I go over and I spend time with senators who are sleeping on their couches because they can't afford apartments in town, and they're taking showers in the locker room because they don't have an apartment. And, you know, they're eating at the free buffets. They're planning their life around who's having a fundraiser so they can get dinner that night. And the free time they have, they're off the hill. They're on the phones raising money. And I never once thought, wow, these people have tremendous influence and they're getting to work with amazing people. It was all really transactional. So I went back to the senator and he said, now, what'd you see? And so I told him what I saw. And he said, now, if you really believe this is your dream, if you really believe this is where you can have the most impact on changing people's lives, which you've told me is the most important thing to you, if that's what you believe, I'll help you get this. But if it's not, then let me help you go find something that'll allow you to change people's lives and to meet the outcomes you want in a world that you want. And so I'm clearly not a congressman and never run for Congress, but it was around those same kind of, I thought that was my dream job till I saw it and till I had a mentor who could help me see it was the outcomes that I cared about. It wasn't the title or the role that I needed.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and today we have fewer barriers than ever to actually pursue, I think, what we would say, hopefully in a smart way, what our dream job is. Meaning that, you know, the new term that everybody's talking about is side hustle. And this idea that everybody's getting their side hustle on, they're launching something on the side at night, they're moonlighting, they're putting together a business plan and then, you know, doing that for a while. And that becomes part-time and all of a sudden it takes over their life and that becomes their full-time pursuit. And so I think that's really exciting. Like the idea that we're now able to, again, create our own economy, that we can pursue things that we feel like we're gifted in, we're passionate about, we have skills in, we have connections to, that it wakes us up in the morning and even wakes us up at night. That's a good thing. But in the midst of potentially a lot of us, most of us who might have jobs that we go, ah, man, maybe 1 out of 5 days of the week, I wake up somewhat excited, but the other 4, I'm really having a hard time to be motivated to show up. You know, part of that is looking at it and saying, well, how do I build in more ways to actually be excited and also take that and say, well, what is the pursuit of this when it comes to being faithful and the stick-with-itness and the idea that whatever I find myself doing, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability and I'm going to crush it during that season. To me, that's just as important as the side hustle is if you're in something and you're saying, gosh, I don't know if this is right for me. The way that you get ultimately to the dream job or to the place where you look around and you go, man, this is what I've always wanted to do is because you were faithful in those times of being the hay hauler and having to be the bucker for 4 cents a bale.
4 cents a bale.
I remember my dad saying to me, Brad, the way you stack these bales, nobody will ever know except you. You'll know how well you stack those bales. And if you're doing it below average and you're not doing it with excellence, nobody's ever going to really probably know that because nobody's going to come inspect this stack. but you'll know it. And that was such a great lesson for me of, okay, faithful. Just be faithful to, even though I don't like it, be faithful to, you know, the stacking job that I have right now.
I think that's a great point for all of us that, you know, the bivocational idea of selling your art on Etsy while you're going to work is, you know, the best leaders I know have those kind of stories, but they also make sure they stay in get-to world versus have-to world. So if you're not in a position where every day, say, every day may be tough, 4 out of 5 days, you say, I get to go hang out with a group of amazing people and we're doing really impactful things and I am pumped about it. There's never been a better time in this country to get a job than there is today. Go find a different job. There's zero reason to be unhappy.
Exactly.
Today. Now look in the mirror and make sure that you really have get to in you.
Yep.
But most people do. And I think, you know, as we leave, I encourage people to spend some time making a list of what you want. You know, it's that Olivia Pope question. What do you want? Mm-hmm. If you can't write that down, there's nothing that's going to make you happy. Then all of a sudden it's booze or drugs or looking at the wrong things on the internet or watching too much TV or whatever that are going to be a substitute for incredible. And if you're listening to this, you deserve incredible.
Well, what you said is true, Ron. Dream outcome.
Yep.
Not dream job, dream outcome.
Yep.
Start with the outcome in mind, and then the jobs that line up for getting you to that hopefully will be all dream jobs, but the dream outcome is the goal.
Couldn't say it better and couldn't give you more. Thanks for being here, Brad. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Hey, thanks so much for listening today. I wanted to take a moment to tell you about 269 Magazine. It's a regional publication communicating the distinctive brand that is Southwest Michigan. In it, you'll read the real stories of leadership, of business, philanthropy, of the life we lead here in one of the most incredible regions in America. And I hope it inspires you and all of our readers to become active participants in our community in making Southwest Michigan the best place to live, work, and enjoy. Catch a sneak peek and subscribe to this resource, 269 Magazine, at 26mag.com. And as a listener to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast, I'll buy your first year's subscription. I know you'll enjoy it, and I'd love to hear from you on Twitter about how much you're enjoying the magazine.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.